wasn't anybody that has a song tonight, am I? All right. Speak now. Okay. Luke chapter number 1. Sometimes I have a schedule in front of me and I miss people. So I'm really nervous when I don't have a schedule. Luke chapter number 1. I want to look at a statement that's made three times. I'm not going to read the entire Christmas story that I encourage you to spend some time reading over the birth of Christ, what we call the Christmas story. I'm personally not a big fan of the whole Christmas idea, but we won't get into that right now. Luke chapter number 1, verse number 5, says, "There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And when they were both righteous before God," notice that statement, "walking in the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years." That's the polite way of saying they're old people, all right? "And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in their order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense." This was a sacred time, something that he did not do every day. It was a very special, holy time. "And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord." Never seen that before. He's standing at the right side of the altar of incense, in the very presence of God. The angel of God showed up. I can't imagine what was going through his mind. "And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him." That might be one of the great understatements of the Bible. He was troubled and feared. And here's a man of God, and the angel of God shows up and he fears. "And the angel said unto him," this is what I want you to see, "fear not, Zacharias." And we'll just stop there, reading, of course, the parents of John the Baptist. "But the angel said, fear not." Now, Zacharias had reason to be scared. I tell you what, I probably would have been unconscious when that angel showed up. And here's a man, a godly man, walking in the fear of the Lord. And this angel shows up. Now we're going to jump up to the next chapter, Luke chapter number 2. I see a similarity here in Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 26. We'll start. "In the sixth month of the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her." Now keep in mind, when you see angels in the Bible, we're not talking about Tinkerbell, all right? You know me well enough that angels are a fearful thing. They appear as one of two things. John describes them, a lot of folks saw the angels in heaven, and they called them beasts, some kind of creatures. Or oftentimes they appeared as men. But all of a sudden, here's this angel that came unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored, and the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled. She was afraid. She was fearful, and rightly so. A godly young lady, scared to death. It was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind. She couldn't even talk. What manner of salutation is this that this should be? And the angel said unto her, notice again, "Fear not, Mary. Fear not, for thou wast found favor in the eyes of God." We'll just stop reading there. You saw the statement. And you know the story. Go in chapter number. Actually, I guess I skipped this one. I did it in the wrong. Where am I at? I'm in chapter number one. Did you find your right? Did I say chapter two? But you know me well enough. Don't listen to what I say. Listen to what I mean. Okay. Now in chapter number 2, in verse number 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." Again, this is not something that happens on a regular basis. Not something they've ever experienced or ever even thought they would ever experience in their entire lifetime. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings." And you know the story again. I got thinking of this and all the different places in the Bible where you see that word fear not. I went through all of them, and I'm not going to take time to go through them, but just think of this tonight. What are we afraid of? What am I afraid of? You know, some of us have phobias. Some of us would be willing to admit them, and some of us would not, right? Huh? What are you laughing at? All my life, until fairly recently, I was scared to death of the dark. You know, there's booger men out there. You know, I was one of those people that you'd go into your bedroom at night and you could... I participated in a long jump in high school because I had a lot of practice jumping from where the door was to where my bed was without touching the floor, because I knew that guy under the bed was going to grab me if I got too close to him. And by the way, I had a reason for that phobia. I had 6 good reasons. Rodney, Randy, Ricky, Ronald, Richard, and Robert. There are my 6 older brothers. I had good reason to be scared of the dark. Now I've gotten over it, and now I love being out in the dark. In fact, I like to scare people now. So now I'm your reason of having that phobia. But I never gotten over the phobia of snakes. Now you're laughing at that one, but some of you, well, mostly share that one with me, maybe. Or spite. Now, Brother Ted Florida, and I gotta go kayaking amongst alligators. They don't bother me a bit. But there's snakes down there. I ain't getting in the water where there's snakes in the water. I'll get right up to an alligator. They're kind of neat to be next to. But the sharks, they're kind of cool out in the ocean too. But not them snakes. Or the spiders. Some folks are afraid of confined spaces. That's never really bothered me. Like a couple of episodes, I remember I did electrical work, and you know, I get crawled in the attics, and I had the curse of being the smallest one in the work there. So I usually got those little tight spots, and I remember one time being in an attic that they get down to nothing at the end, and you got to reach back there through all the insulation. You can't see. You're just kind of feeling your way around, trying to find where the wire gets poked down the wall, and it never really bothered me, other than it was about 200 degrees in there, and you're covered with insulation, and all of a sudden, somehow I got from that attic to the ground. And there was no hole in the ceiling. I'm not sure how I got from there to here, but I got out of there somehow. It normally never bothered, but it bothered me there. Some folks are afraid of heights. Some folks are afraid of storms. Some folks are afraid of different things. And some of them, it doesn't bother me. And sometimes we say, well, just get over it, huh? But Jesus came to calm our fears. Now, those are unreasonable fears. That's a phobia, unreasonable fear. Sometimes we're afraid of things that we ought not to be afraid of. But we struggle with those. But Jesus came to calm our fears. So many times he said to his disciples, fear not. And the resurrection, fear not. In the storms of life, fear not. But we're afraid. And we think, I've got reason to be afraid. But fear not. The reality is, honest men do fear God. In fact, you got saved because you're afraid of going to hell, didn't you? We think of one day we're going to stand before a holy God and give an account of his life. Psalm 34 says, let me teach you the fear of the Lord. We have to fear God. And yet we know, and folks say, well, perfect love casteth out all fear. But there's still some things that we're afraid of. We're afraid of uncertain things. Afraid of the unusual things. And let me jump all the way, because there's some things I wanted to share there, but we'll just jump all the way here, that fear is natural and is something that's healthy. It's something that's a part of our survival instinct. It keeps us alive sometimes. It's animals have that, not that we're animals, but the talk about an animal, some are the fear of fight or flight. And old Boudreaux attacked me tonight. Stacy said, I didn't know that thing could bark. I said, I was expecting it to meow and hiss at me or something. But of course, it sounded like a big, mean dog. I mean, here's this thing half the size of my foot. But then when I got close, it ran. It was just afraid. And I'd be afraid of me too. But fear brought us to salvation. And we no longer fear hell, but we do fear giving account to God one day. And we will give an account of our life before God. Fear really brings us to a closer walk with God. Fear is what brought us to salvation. Fear is what puts us on our face before God. There's a place I want you to turn a little bit. Before we get there, we've been memorizing a verse in Sunday school and going through the book of Philippians. Philippians 4, and some of you that are in our class, seems like it's been a month since we've, almost has been a month since we've had a regular Sunday school class. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Be fearful of nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, when you're going, that verse is easy to claim when everything's going good, isn't it? When you have nothing to fear, it's kind of like, well, I'm going to praise God because He's always good. Well, that's easy to do when you've got a belly full of food, when you got a house to live in, when you got shoes on your feet, when everything's going good. It's easy to praise the Lord. But what about when everything's gone? What about when everything in your world falls apart? And sometimes when you're in that place, when you're fearful of what's going on, and I think at times of great grief in my own personal life, and some well-meaning Christian comes up and says, well, we know all things work together for good. About the third time you hear that, you just want to say, shut up and punch somebody in the mouth. Yeah, I know it works for good. Just let me panic here for a little bit. Yeah, I know I shouldn't fear, but just indulge me for a little bit, okay? And I was thinking that verse a lot, and we just went through that last time we met for Sunday school. That was our memory verse, wasn't it, Miss Linda? She's gone through a lot. And by the way, God's given two great miracles this week, two answers to prayer. That Linda's here right now is a great miracle. And I've been praying since Rex and Linda both got sick that God would either completely restore their health or just take them to heaven. That they not be lingering in that between place. And the other one is God just took Brother Rex to heaven. He's in a far better place. But that anxiety that we feel, that fear that we feel, and sometimes we think, and other Christians might, well, why don't you just trust in God? I've learned a long time ago that I don't know what I'm going to do in many situations in life. Many things that come to your life. Well, I know when I do this, if I ever face that, this is what I do. You don't have a clue what you would do until you come to that place. If you ever do come to that place. and facing some of the things that we face in life, there comes a great anxiety. There comes a great fear. And we can claim that verse. Yeah, that's great to claim on a good day. But when those bad days come, you just got to hold on to it and wait till the sun comes up again. There's a whole lot of things that may happen between now and then. I want you to turn back to Psalm 56, and there's many places in the Bible I wanted to turn to Old Testament examples, and where God even commands, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." Some of these verses you probably claimed before. Sometimes when I've preached, I've claimed this promise in Jeremiah 1:8, "Be not afraid of their faces." I like that one. In fact, I had that written in my Bible every time I preached for a while. Be not afraid of their faces. Sometimes we're facing that fear and we don't know. In Psalm 23, David said, "I will fear no evil. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'll fear no evil." Well, that's good to say, but when you get in that valley, what's your heart going to be doing? Where is your mind going to be? These great men, fear came upon them, and rightly so, when the angel showed up in what we call the Christmas story in Luke 1 and 2. And the first thing the angel said, "Fear not." First thing Jesus said, "Fear not." Well, yeah, it's easy for you to say. You're walking on the water. We're sinking. Fear not. David was a great man of war. He was, we tell the story, David and Goliath, he ain't afraid of nothing. Yeah, you send your giant out here. You come to me with swords and shield. I come in the name of the Lord. I'm bold and I'm not afraid of anything. We even sing this, "I'm bold enough to face the giants." Hey, David was fearless. Was he? I have a feeling there's a whole lot of fear going through his mind when he faced that giant. David was a man after God's own heart. Does that mean he never sinned? No, his life was full of failures and sins. And notice what he says, this advice that David gives us in Psalm 56. This is a Mishnah of David. It's written by David when the Philistines took him in Gath. Remember Gath? That's where the giant was from. When he was in hiding from Saul. He was fearing his life and hiding from Saul. He went to Gath, and now all of a sudden, they figured out, hey, this guy's the one who killed brother Goliath. And David feigned himself a madman to escape. He came up with this plan because he was scared for his life. And notice what he says in some of the things in Psalm 56. I think he gives us a great lesson. Just starting in verse number 3, "What time I am afraid." I am afraid. I do face fear. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will praise His Word. I like this. Notice he says, I will praise His Word, the Bible. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do me. Now we ought to fear some things. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but we ought to fear God. And we can go back to a lot of things there, but I'm just going to read through here. Every day they wrest my words. They twist my words. That ever happened to you? You say something, well, this is what you said. That's not what I said. I'm not sure what you were listening to or what you heard. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. You understand where I'm feeling. You understand my emotion. You see what I'm facing. You know what I'm facing. Put thou my tears in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? God remembers those tears. God knows where we're at. When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. I know this to be true, but I'm afraid. I got to talk myself into trusting God. In God will I praise His Word. In the Lord will I praise His Word. Notice again the emphasis on the Word of God, the promises of God, the Scriptures. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows, your promises are upon me, O God. You promised to protect me, to keep me safe. I will render praise. I don't feel real bold, not real confident now, but I know God's promise, and I'm going to praise Him. For Thou, and notice, I like verse number 13, for Thou hast delivered my soul from death. You've saved me. I know He's my Savior. I know if I die, I'm going to go to heaven. Wilt Thou not deliver my feet? Yeah, you deliver my soul. I'm trusting you to get to heaven, but I'm not. Can you deliver where I'm at right now? Can you keep me safe right now? See, David's facing some fear. And he just keeps reminding himself of the promises of God, the Word of God. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord. Deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. God, I know I'm saved, but I'm fearful. I'm not sure how I'm going to make it. You ever been to that place? Fear thou not. What am I afraid of? Yeah, sure we get afraid. Sure we, and sometimes our fears may be completely illogical. Maybe a phobia. I just can't get up. Hey, just trust and just tell God, I'm afraid. Not sure how I'm going to get out of this. Not sure if I'm going to come out of this alive, but God, help me just to trust in You. If I don't come out, I'm going to go to heaven, but I'd sure like to come out of this thing alive here on this earth, too. Can You save my life here as well? Deliver my feet from falling? Don't let me fall and stumble into unbelief. Don't let me discard Your Word and backslide and turn away from Thee. And away from Thee, what time? I'm afraid. I'll trust in Thee. We go through dark times in our life, discouraging times and difficult times, and just keep your eyes on Jesus. I know we go through the valley of the shadow of death. I like that. It's a valley, and it's just the shadow, death. We know it's on the other side, but it's still a fearful thing to go through that valley. And we trust God to take us through and to get us through. What am I afraid of? Oh, we hear the words of Jesus to His disciples, fear not. Jesus last appeared to John on the island of Patmos. Fear thou not. Fear not. It's me. Trust in me. Believe in me. Father, we pray.